I want to welcome all of you to Blessed Hope Bible Church. Thank you for coming. Thank you for allowing the Lord to help you in starting this year off right. And we're always glad to have you as a part of our ministry. And my goal today is to help you help you. Amen.
Amen.
I can preach, but you got to listen.
Amen.
Amen. And this is what I guarantee. If you listen today, you will leave better than when you came here. Let me make you that promise right now. If you listen to the word of God, I promise, if you listen, I didn't say if you hear, if you listen. Hearing is an anatomical thing, your ears. But listening is you're actually taking it in and you processing it with your mind. Amen?
Amen.
If you listen, you will leave this sanctuary, this building, whatever you want to call it, you will leave it better than when you came here. How many of you want to leave better than when you got here?
Amen.
You will. You will, in the name of Jesus, because I know that the word of God does not return void. It will accomplish that for which it is sent. That's how I can make that promise. I stand on God's word. For those of you who want to follow us on the internet, you can join us at www.bhbcstl.org. where this message will be found also this week. Amen.
Amen.
And so certainly you can also hear this message downloaded for free. It is not for sale. It is for the building of God's kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
As we welcome in 2010, if you believe the Mayan calendar that has gained popularity over the past few months, then all of us have only 2 years left to live. Because the human race is scheduled to become extinct in 2012, according to the Mayan calendar. Now, I want to be sensitive to those who are of Mayan descent and who still occupy much of Mexico, but let me just say this. It is difficult for me to believe a prediction about human extinction from a tribe that's extinct. I mean, I'm not trying to be offensive, but you aren't around anymore. And but yet you're speaking from the grave, telling me when I'm going to end. Now, if you're that smart, why couldn't you predict your own end? So I'm not buying into this 2012 hype. I know it's all to make money in the end. Anyway, this is America. Amen. And so that's where I stand. And in fact, I don't believe any prediction that's not in line with the word of God. Whether it's Nostradamus, the Mayans, or your cousin who had too much eggnog at the Christmas party and started prophesying about future events. And it was the eggnog speaking through them about what next year would bring. I don't believe none of that foolishness. Because we know that God has already spoken about the future. Now, there are some who will say, and there are some who will listen to this message, and they might ask this question. Well, what about the wise men from the east who followed the star? That's extra biblical. They came out of Babylon, or what was once Babylon, the Persian Empire, what have you. And they came all the way from the east, and they found the baby Jesus. That wasn't in no Bible, but you know what? They were looking for Jesus.
Amen.
So that's okay. You say, why, Pastor? Because they didn't have access to the scriptures you and I have access to. Remember Psalms 19, which says, the heavens declare the glory of God, right? And the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. See, before we got the word of God, God did what's called general revelation. You could look up into heaven and know that there's a God. Why? Because there is order. The moon shines at night. Sun shines by day. He said, well, who's operating this machinery where the earth goes along an elliptical pattern so that you have these four seasons? And it happens all the time without any real corruption to the system. Now, everything that man has made, every system he has raised has broken. But then there's one system that continues. And science cannot explain that system. Science can tell you that the earth rotates around the sun every so many minutes and hours and et cetera, but they can't tell you why. Well, it's the orbital pull. And where did that orbital pull come from? See, at some point, there's a question that you can't answer. And in the old days, man could know God, if you will. Not salvation, but he could know there was someone bigger than him. Just by the order and the arrangement and the pattern and the laws of nature, just the physical laws of nature. But now we got the word of God. Amen. Amen. And so in these times, the church, we don't need ancient calendars. We don't need stargazers. We don't need any Cleo to tell us what's going on in our lives. These pseudo prophets. Predicting the future. You don't need astrology from the daily news. All you need is the word of the Lord. All you need is the Bible. What's going to happen to you is already written. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. It has already been determined. And let me tell you the outcome. In the end, we win. If you're in Christ Jesus, if you know the Lord, if you have received him by faith, you will win in the end. Yeah, but I'm broke, and you will win. Yeah, but I'm sick, but you won't be sick always.
Amen.
Good news is the fact that you in your current state, there's going to be a major upgrade in your existence. You're going to live longer. You're going to live eternally. You will know no poverty. You won't have to look at the news and see who got shot, because there will be no shooting where you're headed. You won't have to worry about locking your doors. You may not have any to lock. Amen. Hallelujah. Because in the end, we win. But it even gets better than that. We don't have to wait until the end of the world to win. Amen. You don't have to wait until the world falls apart in order to say, okay, here comes the apocalypse, and you got all this apocalyptic stuff going on as well. Y'all got DirecTV and Charter. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And people been apocalypsing for the last 2,000 years, and they're going to do it for however long. But we can have victory today. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says these words, but thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this passage, because we got to stay in context, refers to death. When it says we have the victory, he's not talking about victory over your neighbor. He's talking about victory over somebody's bigger than your neighbor. Victory over death. And death is the greatest enemy to the human existence. Which begs the question. If we now have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ over the greatest enemy to our existence, why do we not have victory over the lesser enemies? Enemies like doubt, fear, anxiety, and all these other things. Why do we not sleep at night? Why do we let people get on our nerves? How many of you have heard the old adage, he who angers you rules you? And yet we allow people to define our day. We walk into the job and somebody looks at us wrong and all of a sudden we mad. Why do we allow lesser things than death to rule over us if we got victory over death? If I know I'm going to live forever, does it matter what so-and-so say about me? Does it matter if I've got friends who approve of me? Do I have to live for folk anymore if I already beat death? I done won death. I done beat death. Death has no sting. I have no fear of it. Why? Because Jesus conquered it in my place when he gave his life at Calvary. Then it stands to reason that if he has conquered death and I now have the victory in him, should I not have victory in every other area of my life? Hallelujah. Well, then I need to know what it means to have victory. In other words, what do I need to do to win in 2010? What must we do to win in 2010? Now, forgive the use of that cheap pun, but at least you can tell somebody what the title of the sermon was. Win in 2010. Amen. And you can rhyme it as far as you want to. Amen. Now, there are 7 things that you and I can do to make 2010 a special year. So get out your Bibles and you can follow along with us. And these are in order of importance. Seven things that you and I can do to make 2010 a special year. And listen to me very carefully. This can be that year for you. Because what I'm trying to do now, even as I'm beginning to preach, and the Lord is just working on me saying, somebody's got 2009 here. You get rid of that, please. Listen to what I'm saying to you. You can't do nothing about 2010. So get rid of it. Or amen. 2009, thank you. 2009, all right. Amen. You listening? There it is. This part will be edited out of the message. 2009 is behind us. 2010 is right here. It's in your pocket. And you got to do something with it. Amen? You got to do something with it. So these are the seven things. Number one, and they are in order of importance, and they're all based on scripture. Number one, forgive everybody. Before you shout, before you put money in the offering plate, forgive everybody. I can't forgive everybody, then you can't get a prayer answered. Forgive everyone. Well, Pastor, some folk I love being mad at. How many of you get joy of thinking about how angry you want to get at somebody? You can't do that and pray. You must forgive everyone, everyone, everyone. And for some of you, you have been wronged in ways that we cannot mention. Amen. But yet you must forgive everyone. Your cousin who borrowed $50 and he's not paying it back. Amen. How many of you got a cousin who always need 50? 50. It's not 50. That's old school. It's 50. How many of you got a cousin who need 50? And they never want you to give it to them. They want you to let them hold it. See, y'all think I've been in church all my life. Look, let me hold 50 for a week. How many of y'all had that request? Let me hold 50 for come on, cuz. Let me hold 50. Hold 50. You know you're not getting it back. Forgive them. That 50 gone. The person who lied on you, forgive them. The one who disappointed you, forgive them. And for many of us, those of you who've been in church for a couple of days, you know who I'm talking to. Many of the wrongs that have been done against you have been by fellow saints. There's a whole bunch of people who grew up in church who don't go to church no more because of what they experienced in church. There are real good believers, Christians who love Jesus, who won't set foot inside of a church in North County. And I'm not going to tell you some of the things they've been through, but it is heinous. Amen. Some of the stuff and the scandal that you see that has marred the credibility and the reputation of the church. Folks say, I'm better off at home. Listen, don't buy that lie either. Don't buy that lie either. Amen. Don't buy into that. We'll deal with that in a minute. But you got to forgive them. You got to forgive everybody, especially those fellow saints who wronged you. Listen, had you let somebody hold some money for you who was a Muslim, you'd have your money back. If they were Jewish, they would have paid you back. If they were Hindu, they would have paid you back with interest. But you had to go give some money to a child of God. You went to one of your church members and said, hold this for me. Honey, you don't supposed to do that. Don't do that.
No, sir.
No, I know. They shout and they praising the Lord. They got this big old giant print Bible. Don't give them no money.
No, sir.
Don't let them hold your money. Well, I want to do something for the church. Hey, you see, listen, I got somebody. We have a representative right there. Raise your hand. Give that money to him. We have a special place. That money will be spent. You say where you want it to go. It will go there. But you giving your money to saints and they say, oh, I need to fill up my tank. You ain't getting your money back. And I know they sitting in the row ahead of you. Forgive them right now. Now, had they been Muslim or Jewish, you would have had your money back with a thank you card. But see how saints do? Can I get at least one amen?
Amen.
Saints working on your house didn't show up. You got to forgive these folk. Ephesians 4:31-32 says these words, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and railing be put away from you with all malicious intent, if you will. Verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, even as God also in Christ forgave you. Jesus says in Matthew 6:14-15, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's why you forgive everyone. Don't do you no good to shout if you hate your brother, because you shouting in vain. Don't do no good to come in church and help me and assist me if you forgive your brother. All of that, God does not even honor that. That means nothing to him. If you have some type of bitterness or issue or grudge against a fellow believer in Christ Jesus, listen, your service is in vain. Your service is in vain. You can't be bitter and serve God at the same time. He will not accept your service. He will not accept your worship. I remember being a part of a church where a member of the choir and the minister of music had it out. Big fight. Then we had a revival. One of the finest preachers in America came and preached. Church was shouting. So the minister of music got up and started shouting. And the person they had it out with started shouting. And they were both shouting at the same time. And my pastor, he looks over at me. I'm sitting next to him. And he says, look at that. And I said, I see it. Because we both knew these two folk couldn't stand each other. And he said, watch this. And so after the sermon, after the shouting, they still wouldn't speak to each other. And my pastor said, did you see that? That's called foolishness. That's called foolishness. You got to stand up against that. Amen?
Amen.
They both laboring in vain. All that shouting and all that foolishness. We do too much shouting and not enough loving. We got to work this thing out, y'all. Number two. Confess and forsake sin. Let me help you by understanding this very important fact. Everybody got sin. If somebody look at you, look back at them. Say, what you looking at? What you looking at? How can you look at me? Are you, you know, they looking at you, look right back at them. Yeah, what? What? Some of you got to say to me, we all got sin.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Bible puts it this way, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Nobody has been able to say, my hands are clean. I have purified myself. No, we all a mess. Our righteousness, Isaiah reminds us, is like what? Filthy rags. We ain't about nothing. But how we respond to sin determines if we win or lose in our day-to-day living. And for some of you, you're having raised up to the next level. You can see it, but you can't get there because you're carrying something you need to let go. And the worst thing you and I can do with sin is fail to acknowledge it. That is the worst thing you can do with sin. The longer you try to hide it, the more it threatens your ability to experience the victory and the joy of Jesus Christ. Listen, when you sin against God, you realize that you've sinned against God and or your neighbor. Own up to it. Just own up to it. Well, I don't like people to know that I'm a mess. Honey, you need to get a ticket and stand in line. Because everybody got some mess in their life. Well, not you, Pastor. You don't know me that well. You don't live with me. I don't live with thee. But we all have some sin in our life. We're all scandalous. We all scandalous. We walk in scandals. Amen. Say, well, I don't believe it. Honey, you ain't got to believe it. It's true. It's true. Your house is filthy and so is mine. That's why I can't come over and help you clean yours. Because I got to look. My nasty house, and I'm over here cleaning your house. Trash running over in my yard. And I'm looking at your yard saying, they need to cut their grass. Look at your house. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 28, verse 13, we read these words. He that covereth or denieth or tries to hide his transgressions shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. If you're going to start the year off right, just don't come to church. Get right with God. And I'm not trying to get you to join Blessed Hope. You can get right with God and go whatever church you feel led to go. Amen. It's about you and God getting together, because your life will not come together until you get yourself together. But you need to understand, you need to make a connection with Jesus Christ. And I'm not preaching to a particular individual. I'm preaching to the whole church. Everybody in here needs to confess something that they have not confessed. You need to just let God know, I have not done right. And if I say raise your hand, I'm really talking to everybody. I really expect everybody to raise their hand. I'm not the kind of person who believes in isolating people and trying to get them to do a little kiss and tell so that they can embarrass themselves. Jesus did not come to shame us. He came to save us. Amen. There is no need for you to come up and before the church and tell us your business, because we can't do nothing about your business. Well, don't you? Shouldn't you know that so-and-so, he's out and he's drinking and playing cards, and let God deal with him. Pastor, we need to, Bible says, who are you to judge? Amen. Another man's servant. It is by God that he standeth or falleth. And listen to me, if you are trying to play both sides of the fence, you in church and in the world, hey, you know what? I ain't got to do nothing but tell you, it is dangerous to play with God. That's my warning to you. I don't have to take you before the board. God will take you before the board. He will deal with you. You cannot have one foot in the world. You in the club, in the casino, and you in the choir. It ain't going to work. That is unsustainable. That's going to only hold up for so long. And then God is going to come in and he's going to collect. Oh, yes, he is. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We reap what we sow. You cannot live in both sides. Yes, I know that you know so-and-so who can't do it. And yet you find yourself, every time I seem like I want to just get away a little bit, God slaps me upside the head. Thank him for that. Man, I was thinking about going over to happy hour and just having me a good time. And I had an accident on the way. But yet, so-and-so from that church, she all over there and she was telling me how, well, why me? You need to praise him for that. Am I talking to somebody today? It seemed like if I put you with 10 people and y'all all commit the same sin and God chooses to smack one upside the head, it's going to be you. And them other nine, they just and God just slapped you upside your head. And you're saying to God, wait a minute. Now this pastor has done this. His church is growing. I'm doing this. My church is going down. Hey, God, can we talk? And let me tell you, after 40 years of serving the Lord, let me tell you what God revealed to me just these past couple of days about that question. I'm sitting down in my study before I pray. And the Spirit of the Lord just speaking to my heart saying, do you know why I do what I do to you? I said, no. And I've always wanted to know, but I stopped asking like decades ago. And I'm having this conversation. I said, you know, I used to ask that question, but I got tired because you never answered. He said, I'm going to answer it right now. I said, I'm all ears. He says, if you stand with 9 other people and you all commit the same sin, I will deal with you. And this is why you shouldn't be standing with them. That's, well, there's more. That's number one. You shouldn't have been standing with them. Number two, you need to tell them. I expect you to lead them instead of being led by them. That's why. So young people, I know you got friends who get high. They do this and they do that. They get away with it. Let you try it. You know what God is saying? You shouldn't be with them. He has singled you out. It seems unfair, but you're going to thank him for it. If he puts a roadblock in your way from getting to the place where you were going to commit a sin, thank him for it. It's going to be painful. You're going to get your behind whooped. Yes, you will. But thank him for it. He's teaching you. Number one, you running with the wrong crowd. And number two, tell the crowd they're headed in the wrong direction. Amen. Number three, we need to pray every day. I believe the reason why most of us don't pray like we should is because we made it complicated when it really isn't the case. In his book, The Heart of Prayer, Jerome Bars, professor of theology at Covenant Seminary, says this: prayer is not a performance in which we are trying to prove something to God about our depth of theological understanding or our skills of eloquence. Nor is prayer a performance in which we seek to impress our fellow believers about these things. Prayer is talking to God. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another. Why? That ye may be healed. Some of you said, Pastor, you promised me I'd leave better than when I got here. There are some things you must do. You got issues? Let's get these issues on the table. And I'm not talking about gory details. Just say, I got issues. That's close enough. And God will deal with it right then and there. Amen. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. When should we pray? Every time we get the chance. Number four, study the word of God. Study the word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15 says these words: study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You can't lead nobody to the Lord if you don't know the Lord. Amen. Yes, I do know the Lord. He found me back down on the, I ain't talking about what happened to you in Mississippi. I'm talking about the word. You need to know the word. Amen. I don't know what would happen to you in Mississippi. I ain't never been to Mississippi. I'm talking about the word. Well, I don't need that. See, that's an old paradigm. That was good for grandma. That's grandma's religion. Amen. I'm living in a high-tech age where knowledge is king. Information is king. People need to know stuff. Do you all notice what is happening within the black, the urban experience? Folk are shouting less and reading more. Do y'all notice that? Amen. The music is changing. All kinds of dynamics are changing. You notice now that when we sing, you'll notice someone like a Jackie Morris who will get up in our church and she will talk and sing. When we used to just say, we used to do this. Y'all, come on, y'all. Y'all grew up, in, those of you who are at least, well, never mind. We used to do this. We would start church at around 10:30-ish because we were always late. And so we would do this. We would... and walking in our choir robes, making sure we had our robes. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. And then we would sing. We would do about 15 minutes of this little something. And after that, we would go into this very long thing called the Lord's Prayer, and we would chant it. Everybody sleep, you know, ain't nobody singing. And just, and that model was okay then. But now you need equipment for today's battles to help you fight today's war, because the kind of war we fought then don't exist today. We fight in a different battle. We need different weapons, more refined weapons. Studying the word of God is now much more important than it ever has been. You say, why, Pastor? Because we got so many false prophets. And they good. And you can think that you're headed in one direction and you're headed in another direction. And there are so many folk preaching stuff, and they got a book that they're using called a Bible. But they're not preaching salvation. They're not preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. They're not preaching the Holy Spirit the way it was meant to be preached. They're preaching it as a commercial and not as a doctrine. And a whole lot of saints are getting themselves in trouble thinking that God meant for them to be rich. Honey, you got sinners richer than you. We got a problem with God. You ain't broke because God meant for you to be broke or rich. God meant for you to be saved. And you get that right. Work on that part. Amen. Let's keep going. Number 5, share Christ with others. Share Christ with others. Amen. Says these words, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Romans 1:16 rather. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. This introduces us to this idea that in order for us to understand why we're here, it is to make somebody else know who the Lord is. Your job is to tell somebody who doesn't know Jesus about the love of God. That's your mission. That's your job. It's not about getting your spiritual gift and taking some spiritual gifts assessment, going through the book of Romans chapter 12 or 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to figure out what your gift is. Your job is, your job is to tell somebody about Jesus. Well, I think my gift is ushering. I don't. I think your job is to tell somebody about Jesus. Well, don't you think ushering is important? Not compared to your job. In fact, I would venture to say nothing is important when we compare it to the mission that God has given us of sharing Christ with somebody else. Amen. And I'm not giving you any leeway on that. You've got to tell somebody about Jesus. What would happen to crime in our community if everybody heard the gospel? What would happen to the dropout rate, drug abuse, divorce, and other social problems? What would happen to the casino that they will build down there on the Mississippi River? Don't worry about it. Go ahead and fight against it. I'm standing against it, but they will build it. They will build it. And we'll get a security guard to watch our lot because of the gambling addicts who will need the fix, who will come in and break your car and take your stuff, sell it, and play on the casino. Amen. But I'm not here to preach against a casino. I'm here to preach against sin. You just giving in to that. I'm not giving in to this. I'm acknowledging a reality. I don't care what they build. I don't care what they build. I don't care what they do. You know why? Because what's important is getting the job done, getting the commission done. Listen, if they're building a casino, then we need to be standing here, and as people going down, we need to put up a sign saying, you can be a winner in Christ. Let's try to get these people in church. Let's get them in Christ. Let's use the casino as a tool to win people to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Help them to know that the yoke of sin can be broken by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is given to those who trust Jesus by faith. Hallelujah. You want to experience victory? You want to win? You've got to understand that you have to also understand what your mission is. Your victory is tied to fulfilling your mission. The victory of the church is not connected to our political influence, our money, or other worldly measures of success. It's not about how big a church or building you build, whether you're on television or not, but the degree to which we experience victory as people of God is by the means through which we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we are effective in doing the simple stuff, God will take care of the other stuff. If everybody at Blessed Hope says, I'm going to lead somebody to Jesus or die trying. I remember somebody said, I'm going to get rich or die trying. I want to borrow that for a minute. I'm going to lead somebody to Christ or die trying. Let's say everybody acted like 50 Cent. Oh, y'all going to act all holy now. You going to act all holy. I don't care. You better know. Your child does. Your baby knows. Yeah, Jay-Z puts it this way. I know you don't like my lyrics, but your child does. Child does, and you better believe, honey, when you ain't at home. All right, yeah. Turn off MTV. I got a computer. Get what I want. But suppose we had that kind of commitment. that no matter what we do, we're going to get this job done. We're going to get this job done. I remember when I was sitting in the barbershop many years ago, this kid walks in, he's hawking cassette tapes, talking about how he's going to make it big. He's going to do that and do this. And we're talking and he's talking and I'm chiming in saying, okay, man, I admire your spunk, man, that's good. He said, man, I appreciate the encouragement. I got to go and go over to this party. And then after that, I'm going to run here. I said, okay, wow, you working it. He said, man, I got to work it. His name was Nelly. I looked up one day, country grammar. But before country grammar, I saw a kid who was obsessed. He was everywhere hawking tapes out of his trunk. If we had the same passion, hawking the Bible out of our trunk, the same energy, amen? Imagine what God could do. And then you won't have to worry about if they build a casino. Ain't nobody coming because they got to go back past Blessed Hope Bible Church. We going to preach. You got to hear the gospel. What would happen to Rain Tree and all these places if we preach the gospel the way they do what they do? I love to tell folk who like to try to tell me how to live my life, if you put as much energy in running my life as you run yours, you wouldn't do anything. If we would put as much energy into doing what Jesus told us to do, instead of sitting around wondering what's this, da, 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 and who's singing and what songs, you know what? We could change this community, y'all. We could make 63138 crime-free, dropout-free, GED-free, teenage pregnancy-free. We can do this, y'all. Why? Because through Christ, we can do all things. Let's keep going. Number six, fellowship. Fellowship, I know you got to get going. Amen. Fellowship. Hebrews 10:23-25 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let me tell you what this verse is saying. It is not telling you to go to church. It is telling you to find somebody who can help you in your faith and assemble with as many of those people as possible. You got to understand, there were no church buildings. There were only church houses during this period. And so the idea of go to church every Sunday is not in operation in this particular text. It is now that you're facing persecution, you guys need to get together that much more. But some of you all have gotten bitter because you don't like what you're having to go through. So you stop coming to the assemblies. That's what the writer, who is nameless, is telling them. There are some saints, they're not assembling anymore because they're tired of going through. But don't you stop. You hold on to your faith that you have professed and find other Christians who believe like you believe. You cannot find, there are two kinds of Christians in the world, spirit-filled and carnal. And you're one or the other. You're never one and the other. You're either spirit-filled and you're led by the Spirit, or you're led by the flesh. But you're never led by both, because they're at enmity with each other. Y'all know about Romans chapter 8. They're against each other. The flesh hates the Spirit and the Spirit hates the flesh. They're never going to dwell in the same apartment. They both want to be the landlord, honey. You got to understand that. And you need to find Christians who love the word. Christians who can pray and not just simply go, oh, honey, it will be all right. How do they know? No, you need saints. You need a Christian who will tell you you're wrong for that. Well, ain't gonna tell me I'm wrong. Then you will never grow. Take that little nasty chip off your shoulder, Miss Big and Bad. Hey, pastor gonna try to tell me. I am telling you. You a mess. Clean up your life. Help yourself. Quit living in sin. He gonna make me all uncomfortable. Yes, I am. It's my job to make you uncomfortable. It's my job to let you know God ain't blinking at your sin because you shouted this morning, because you put $100 in the plate. You gonna go out to the club. You listen to me, it might be your last time. But don't worry, we will spend your money. I actually thought I'd get a bigger laugh than that. You can't buy grace and favor. You need to get around some Christians who will love you in as-is condition. They're not always judging you and criticizing you, but they will check you if you need to be checked. You want that person. And boy, I think that's why I've been married 21 years. I'm a checker. I enjoy the job. I was born to do that job. And I think that's why I don't have any friends. Because I love it. I was talking to somebody this morning. I said, let me be the bad guy. Let me be the bad guy. I tell my board, let's play good guy, bad cop. Good cop, I'll be the bad cop. Well, Pastor, we need to approach this. I say, y'all do it, because I'll run them out of here. Because I'm very direct, but I love you. Y'all don't see. See, now y'all, ooh, I love you. I sleep good every day, but I have gotten you off my chest. Because you need to know where you stand. Would you rather have a boss and you don't know if you're getting a raise? Or have a boss who says, you need to do this, 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 and this, and you'll get a raise. Which one would you rather have? Come on now. Amen? I have a cousin, just lost a six-figure job. They walked in and said, you don't work here no more. How about some warning? My God in heaven. Just built a house and bought a new car. And was told, you don't work here no more. If I'm going to work for Jesus, I want Jesus to check me whenever I go wrong. Amen. If I'm thinking wrong, you know what? I'm out of town. I think I'll smack me upside my head. Why? To keep me humble. So that I can stay in the place of blessing and not stay in the place of lessons. Amen. I want the blessings, not the lessons. I had enough of them. I want the blessings. How many of you want the blessings? Y'all not here. No. Let me ask it again. How many of you want the blessings? Amen. Number 7, contribute to God's kingdom. Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, with all, it shall be measured to you again. Here, let me break that down. That's just old, and I know some of y'all say, what? Here, let me do it this way. Stingy giving, stingy blessings. Amen. Big giving, big blessings. Amen. I'm not back there in 2,000 years ago and Paul writing this to the Corinthian church, 2 Corinthians. I don't even know what a Corinthian is. But I know this, that I have never outgiven God. I have never been able to do it. And I've tried sometimes. And let me tell you, you will never go broke giving to God. Now, I'm not preaching prosperity because I don't believe it because it's not biblical. But I believe this, that if you do right by God, he will always do right by you. He will always do right by you. That I am telling you. But you can't buy blessings. That's not how it works. Well, what about the book of Malachi? He'll pour you out a blessing. Hey, wake up. He already has. He already has. I mean, what is Calvary? So you want more than that? There is no more. Here's my personal thing. Look at Calvary and give accordingly. Don't let no preacher tell you to give all your money away. Especially to the church. No, I'm not going to be real. Don't let no preacher tell you give all your money in church. Because that ain't going to save you. You need to understand, give what you can give. Give where you say, I'm comfortable, this is my best. That's all that you need to give. And nobody has the right to ask you to give a cent more. If you look at that check that you're writing and say, this is all I can do, then that's it. God is pleased with that. And we don't need to even go any further with that issue. Amen. So what are we going to do this year in 2010? Number one, we're going to forgive everybody. We're going to confess and forsake sin. We're going to pray every day. We're going to study the word of God. We're going to share Christ with others. We're going to fellowship with those of like spirit. Amen. And we'll contribute to God's kingdom. Now, these 7 principles are for those who are in Christ. and it will give you victory over every sin in your life. Listen, if you're reading the Bible every day and you're struggling against sin, you say, Pastor, promise me that I have victory. Hey, just look at your watch. It's on the way. Study the Bible, read the Bible. If you pray in the Bible, you get in the Word of God every day, whatever sin is in your life will be broken. I promise you, every sin in your life will be broken by the Word of God. Sin cannot have victory over the Word that God speaks to you. It is not possible, my friend. So quit playing games with your own mind and allowing the devil and your flesh to trick you into thinking you will never overcome this. You're correct in your own flesh. But you get into that Word every day this year, and that sin will be broken in your life. I'm a living witness. I'm not telling you something I heard somebody tell me who was told by somebody else. I'm telling you from a living witness standpoint, whatever you got going on in your life that you cannot break, God will break it for you. If you get that Word in you. Say, well, Pastor, I don't even know about Jesus. I'm just coming here, just hanging out with the family. You know, it's New Year's. Just start the year off right. Honey, you need to start your life off right. Amen. It's not about a new year. It's about a new life. It's about knowing who it is that died on the cross for your sins, who died in your place, who gave his life for you. When you was out running the streets like a crazy man or woman. Who was on the cross? Jesus. Doing what? Suffering. For who? You. Why? Because he loves you. I tell young people, only two people love you in the world, your mama and Jesus. What about daddy? Well, you know, dads are kind of, you know, they love you too. Boyfriend, you got to be joking. 15 years old and come to me, tell me we in love. That's not possible. How do you know? Because I was 15. Yeah, but no buts, my friend. Hell, you just don't know him. Don't want to. I know of him. I know what he's saying about you in the locker room. As a three-sport athlete, I know all about locker rooms, and I know the conversations we used to have, and I know you in it. 15 in love. A notch on a belt, baby, that's all you are. You're just a notch on a belt. You're a notch on a belt. You're a referral. I mean, do I have a few more minutes, fellas? Can I preach to some daughters? Is it all right? Couple of fellas saying, no, don't. Track, cross country, wrestling, football, basketball. I've done it, y'all. I got my varsity letters, my JVs and all that foolishness. Did that. Ran and all that. Been there. Know what it's like to be an athlete. Obviously I'm not one now. But I would just sit back and listen because that was not the life I was living. And my heart would go out for the names of those girls who I would cross in the line, crossing the hall going, they have no idea. What they saying about her in the locker room. You are a referral. They have a list. And if your name gets on it, you will never graduate from it. Nuh-uh, I'm gonna run for homecoming queen. Honey, and while you getting crowned, the word tramp will be just an undercurrent. I've lived this life, y'all. Y'all know, you see, you can't trick me. I know you think it's all new to you. It ain't new, baby. Sin ain't new. Sin is old. We just rehash it, put some hot sauce on it, but it ain't new. And you got to give away yourself to God. Well, Pastor, ain't all boys like the ones you say? Okay. All right. You want me to say, yeah, you're right. I'm not going to say that. This is what I'm going to say. All boys don't act that way, but the potential is there. if the opportunity presents itself. That's what I'm going to say. I got two sons and a daughter, so don't play with me. Don't act like I don't know what I'm talking about. You got to make a change. And some of you today, these seven principles don't work for you. They won't work for you because you ain't even saved. You need to get saved. No music. I want you to think about what I'm saying to you. I'm not here to hurt nobody's feelings. I'm not here to try to pretend I can read nobody's mind. I'm here to just make sure you understand where we are here, why we are here. I didn't preach a sermon to make you go amen. Didn't preach a sermon to make you raise your hand and go, ooh, that sounds good. That's not why we're here, is it? We're here to help people. Help themselves. Bow your head right now. No music, Wardell, not yet. I want you to think about 2010. You go live it like 2009.